Look through the window of the original Joe's on North Beach and you'll see two guys at the counter talking ball. Time for you to listen in to their conversation. Marty Lorre and the SF Chronicles' Bruce Jenkins are looking through the window of baseball. Sponsored by Original Joe's of North Beach and Westlake on KNBR 680, the sports leader.
All right, nice to have you back with us. Bruce, how are you today? I know you got to get on the road to watch Stanford and USC today.
Yeah, pretty soon I'll be heading down there. Should be a good one. All kinds of stuff going on today. Great sports day.
Now, you head up there, don't you? Where are you? No, you're down there.
It's south of Half Moon Bay for me, yeah.
I got my geography straight. Okay, I got it down. What a week of baseball. A couple of things to talk about. Let's not talk about the Giants just yet. But how'd you like Todd Frazier? Did you see this one with the foul ball?
Where he faked out the umpire.
Come on, how about that?
Yeah, that's I can't even grasp that. I saw the original highlight, and it looked like he just made the play, and I didn't think anything of it. I didn't see any more video on it, but what the hell?
So he's playing third base, and he dives into the stands like a Derek Jeter thing, and falls in and makes what appears to be a catch, and one of the fans there had a rubber ball. And he drops the hard ball, picks up the rubber ball, and holds up his glove. He's made the catch. And one of the fans is, like, pointing. And I remember seeing that. And the umpire gives him, "You got it." He's out. And he takes the ball before the umpire can look at it and throws it back in the stands. And it's an out. Come on. How about that for...
Did the fan bring the ball just in case something like this happened? I mean, what are you doing with a rubber ball anyway?
I guess they were having a catch or playing stickball.
Out in the street.
Right, before the game. But I love it. I think the presence of mind of Frazier puts him in a new class for me to pull it off.
Yeah, that team could use a little levity.
Yeah, really. I thought that was pretty good. The other one, I don't know if you saw this morning, but the two broadcasters, the TV broadcasters for the Tigers, did you see this?
Yeah, I guess these guys have been working together for years, but they're not friends, and they're at odds, occasionally. There's a little bit of tension on the air, but this time, I guess one of the guys jumped the other one, and they had a little brawl, and they've been suspended for the rest of the season.
Yeah, Mario Impemba, who I've had on the show a number of times.
Oh, have you?
Oh, yeah, because he's a Tiger TV broad, and Rod Allen, who I've had on the show a number of times, too. They worked together 17 years, and something happened. They had a fight in the booth.
Unbelievable. That's not exactly Kruko and Kuiper there. I mean, who go on vacations together or have in the past, and, these guys, I don't know, it's just ridiculous.
I love it. This is the week of baseball. All right, how about this one? David Hess is catching a football in the outfield for the Orioles. Now the pitchers warm up. And it hits him in the eye. And, of course, everyone stops in his pregame. And he's okay. But by the second inning in the dugout, he's wearing an LSU football helmet.
Yeah, that's if you're playing catch with a football. Who was he playing catch with? Bobby Douglas? He couldn't handle it and went into his eye?
Really? This is what's going on. And he's pitching today.
Yeah.
David Hess, so we'll have
I think he should go out there with the helmet, or at least a scaled-down version, keep it going.
And that brings to my next point, the Orioles. And, as a kid, Bruce, I was an Oriole fan, and I liked the hat with the bird on it and all that. And I kind of remember the days, Milt Pappas and Chuck Estrada and Steve Barber, the baby birds. They were awful. Well, this team is 41-100.
Unbelievable. Yeah, I have some fond memories of the Orioles too. I covered the 1979 and 83 World Series against the Pirates and the Phillies, and maybe the most interesting, bright, funny, observant, perceptive, and accessible bunch of guys I think I've ever been around. And just a tremendous clubhouse. With Earl Weaver at the helm, and the scene in Baltimore, the Memorial Stadium, was absolutely priceless. One of the really great scenes I've ever been around. And they replaced it with Camden Yards, and you can understand that. But those are really precious days and great memories for me. And to see them this bad, it's pretty stunning.
Well, you'd have to go, you know, they're 55 and a half back. I think their first year maybe they were 54 back. And, of course, I think the manager was Jimmy Dykes. they're 41 and 100. And Buck Showalter's the manager of this thing. So
yeah, that's another thing that's stunning to me. I mean, he's a good man, a really bright guy. He's managed some good clubs, and you know when his team is in it, you know it's a team you got to watch out for. And now they're like 20 games behind the Reds, who are a last place team.
Unbelievable, really.
Yeah.
55 and a half back. That's not a bad week. That's trouble. How about Ohtani and his story? And you know, the Angels, it's been an organization that's, to me, since they've been in the World Series and hanging on with Socha and all their Albert Pujols and Josh Hamilton, they've done some really weird things. This guy's got elbow trouble in the middle of the year, and he doesn't have Tommy John. He still plays, comes back, pitches. Now he's going to have Tommy John, and he's not even sure he wants to do it yet. So I don't know what's going to happen, but he's an amazing talent.
Yeah, I was really sad to see the arm go bad, and they'd had hints that his elbow wasn't completely sound to begin with, but he comes out throwing 101, you know, early in the season, pitching great, hitting great, and to me, I know he's hesitant, he doesn't want to have that arm cut on, but it just sounds to me with the recommendations that they're getting that he should have the surgery. He can DH probably all of next year, maybe play a little bit in the field, and then come back and pitch in 2020.
Yeah.
The Pujols thing is problematic because, you know, he's obviously a legend and piling up numbers and Hall of Fame resume. I think Artie Moreno loves him, but he's in the way. Ohtani should be DHing every day. I mean, they wondered if he could hit against lefties, and he's hit two home runs against lefties in the last week. I mean, nothing against Pujols, but this guy is on the rise, and he's not going to have to worry about pitching next year. And you know what, Marty, for me, he's the rookie of the year. He's done things on both sides that you haven't seen since Babe Ruth. And, you know, with all respect to Andujar and Gleyber Torres, Ohtani is really special. And he could have a go out in September with a blaze of glory here and with even more impressive stats.
Well, he's doing something that you have to go back to Babe Ruth, you know, of pitching this many innings or what have you and hitting 17 home runs. That Babe Ruth did that.
Mm-hmm. And he's going to, you know, he'll be hitting all next year and won't have to worry about pitching. It's sad to see him, to see the arm go bad because I'm so in favor of guys trying to do what he's doing. There are some guys in the minor leagues, Brendan McKay, and I think Hunter Green may yet do it in the Red system. The guy from Cal got drafted who does both. And I just think that's great. I would love to see more of that, kids growing up thinking that they can do that. And you know, every now and then somebody will actually be able to do it. We've seen that it can be done, and it's a shame it got derailed for at least a season in terms of the two-way thing.
Good series going on in Boston, the Astros and the Red Sox. The Red Sox are 97 and 45, and they've got 20 games to go. I'm kind of rooting for 110 if they could get there.
Mm-hmm.
I'd just like to see that and see if they could pull that off, because 97 and 45, how about that?
Yeah, that's great. I mean, we were talking a couple weeks ago about how the Yanks were closing in a little bit. Right now it's 8.5, and it feels like more like 18, I think, to the Yanks, who don't even they have no idea who would pitch the wild card game against the A's. It was looking like Severino, and he's been terrible. You know, J.A. Happ, I don't know if they trust him. Tanaka pitches one good game yesterday, so he's the front runner.
Yeah.
But the Red Sox, I was watching the game against the Astros, and the Astros are so good. I mean, they're really kicking into gear now. They're healthy, and, you know, Bregman is just ridiculous. He's got to be in the MVP conversation. But when you start out Springer, Altuve, Bregman, Correa, and then it just keeps going good hitters from there, you know, they stood right up to the Red Sox, and if they play each other, that'll be a phenomenal series.
48 and 21 on the road for Houston. How about that?
Yeah, they're just really good. They're the world champs, and they got it all going, and they're starting. They're letting starters go deep. They're not bullpenning, and it's all good.
Yeah, I love it. I think this is going to be interesting. My theme today, though, has been the overworked bullpens and of the whole year of mm-hmm. starters going out. And you know, you how many times you've written about it going out 5-6 innings, and then here comes the parade of relievers. Well, it's September. And every night that you watch that MLB Network or wherever you watch to get your scores, if you do it, some bullpen is exploding.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't stop. And these are the good teams, the Dodgers, Colorado, Arizona, the Phillies, the Cubs, the Cardinals. Anywhere you go, the bullpens are so tired that this month of September, I think, is going to be crazy. And just get ready for October. You're going to wish, I was just joking with Joe Sheehan, that Steve Carlton would come back and pitch at the age of 70.
He probably could. But this is the really damning aspect of the bullpenning trend. Whether you're starting a reliever and then going from there, or you're yanking the starters out after four or five, you know, it goes on the assumption that every night you bring these guys in for an inning and it's all well and good. But, you know, pitching every night can wear on a reliever. Lord knows we've seen it here. I think of Rob Nen immediately, but there's so many examples. And it's just not that easy to keep a healthy bullpen when you're relying on them that heavily. And, you know, the contrast being your starter goes seven or even eight, and God help you, he goes all the way, and nobody comes in. You know, and your bullpen's fresh again. That I really think, as much as the bullpenning thing has helped Tampa Bay and the A's are experimenting with it, and other teams will, I don't think it's going to become a widespread trend just because of that reason.
Well, and I'll say, and look, Milwaukee. You know, they've ridden the bullpen all year long. St. Louis has, and as we get into September, you know, it's touch and go. And this is the outcome of not allowing starters to go six innings, and this the insane 100 pitch count.
Yeah, which we hope gets pushed up to 125, which is the Marty Lurie clause is going to come into play. Yeah,
I'd even settle. I'm a negotiator. I'll settle for 115.
I'd go for 108. I mean, just get off 100.
Exactly.
The only thing about 100 is that it's an even number. That's it. That's the only meaning that it has. It's a clean triple digit number. That's its value. Period.
Yeah, because 115 at least gets you another inning.
Yeah,
and that's my point with these bullpens, Bruce. And we saw it, and Joe Sheehan said it as well. You know, by the time you get done with the playoffs in October, you're kind of wishing for just a nice old fashioned seven inning start from a starting pitcher. It's wearing on you to watch games like this every night.
Yeah, watching the Giants last night, you know, Milwaukee comes in with Hader, who's throwing like 600 miles an hour, just insane, almost impossible to hit. Strikes out five and two innings, and that's what he's been doing, going even two and three innings. You know, how's he going to be in October if they get there?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe fine, but, I mean, these guys are getting an awful lot of work.
I'm telling you, we've never seen an October like we're going to see. I firmly believe that.
Yeah,
because
and you know, I for that reason, you know, I like Houston. I think you know they're probably going to go in with the best rotation, and they're going to be looking for guys to go deep because they can and they have and they will, and that's going to put them. Lord knows it would put them ahead of the A's if it comes to that, but. Having that great rotation, and you know, and I hope that happens. If they were to win the World Series and behind a bunch of guys going traditional length, I think that would be huge for people to see that. Like, hey, this is we've been doing this for 150 years. You know.
Well, I hope he can. McCullers is coming back, and he'll be a bullpen guy, and mm-hmm. they're gonna need it because with Verlander and Morton's got a sore shoulder, and Garrett Cole. First sign of trouble. I'm telling you, these guys go to the bullpen. So it's going to be interesting to see if Hinch does that or if he stays with, you know, the trust of the veteran. We'll see where it goes. Hey, how about J.D. Martinez of Boston? And is this anyone talking about him and what he's doing this year?
Well, yeah. I mean, I've been reading some of the East Coast. You know, they're all over him. He's what's he trying to be, the first guy to – win the Triple Crown, or, you know, for both leagues since Mantle, is that right? To win it for all of baseball, I mean, something like that. But he's closing in on the Triple Crown. His opposite field hitting is just ridiculous, and it's just so strange. I mean, he sat on the free agent market for way too long, and I'm thinking who's going to get this guy. And then the next thing you know, he goes to Boston, which is that's the best free agent move of the year. But he's so the thing about him is that. He's such an intelligent hitter. You know, he's got the opposite field stroke. He'll go up the middle. A lot of his home runs are just really hard hit balls that just go out. You know, he's not trying to launch everything to the stratosphere. He does have a launch angle swing, but there's more to it than that. He's thinking up there. And, you know, that's you talk about a team that's, what are they, 97 wins now? I mean, that's,
yeah, 97.
That's an awfully big reason. I think, you know, because Mookie Betts is might be the best player in the league, he and Mike Trout just all around, and he's getting a lot of MVP talk. So that's a guy right on his own team that he's going up against. But, you know, meanwhile, Martinez is in 335 with all this stuff. Just tremendous.
Unbelievable. Really, yeah. Just an unbelievable season. This is one for the ages, and it's really kind of quiet. If we went out here into AT&T Park and said, hey, what do you think J.D. Martinez is doing? People will look at you.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. You know, so that's all right. One last one. Mike Kopech of the White Sox. You see this? He has a tremendous 2 or 3 game debut. Tommy John surgery.
Yeah, join the crowd. You're really not very cool or hip if you haven't had it.
It's true.
You know? I know I'm going in Thursday.
Yeah,
you know, because
really.
I just feel like I should.
Well, it's kind of like having your tonsils taken out. You know what I mean? When I grew up, you know, you're 17, and if you haven't had Tommy John surgery, come on in.
Yeah, they'll probably take my wisdom teeth out because I won't be that smart again. But
yeah, they'll do it as a drive-through. It'll be like McDonald's. You know,
yeah,
that'll be.
I'm sure Tommy John never thought that, you know, it would come to this.
First,
they would name the thing after him, and then everybody in the world gets it, you know.
That's funny. You know, that actually is, it's like pasteurization. You know, at least Louis Pasteur figured it out, you know. But that's actually funny. Tommy John, I wonder what Tommy John thinks. Someone should actually interview and say, what the heck do you think about all this?
Yeah, well, I did see one interview with him a couple of years ago, and he was right on the same page that we were about, you know, how kids didn't pitch, you know, all year round. They were in travel leagues, and they're trying to throw 98 every single day of the year, and how starters, you know, had a set routine, and they worked every fourth day, and they went deep, and they didn't try to throw a million. He's the greatest example, yeah. And of course he had the surgery, but you know he was alarmed by the recent trends that are causing this. And he probably wishes there were a new name for it, although it does keep him in the news every day in every city.
Yeah, really. If he hired Boris, and Boris comes in and says, look, I'm sorry, you can't call it this anymore unless you pay him.
Yeah, right. Exactly. He's such a nice guy. I'm sure that would never happen. He's one of the nicest guys I ever met in baseball.
Oh, boy.
Not Boris. Tommy John.
Yeah, very good. Boy, what you know, and we haven't mentioned one word about the Giants, but this is what baseball's all about.
Yeah, all I can say is I'm glad to see Garcia and Avellino in there today. Let's see it. That's what this is all about now. And
exactly.
It's not like they get infinitely worse playing the kids. They've just been terrible. Why not? Let's look forward to that.
All right, I agree. Well, in the immortal words of Mario and Pemba, let's go too.
And get off my back, for right. God's sake.
And that one may be take the cake for the day. That may.
Oh, my, yeah. That's the broadcaster's brawling.
All right. Well, have a good time. USC and Stanford, what do you think?
I'm going to go with SC in a bit of an upset. They've got this freshman pass-catch combo that, who knows, maybe this game will bring him down to earth. But I'm going for the upset without any clear reasoning, but we'll see what goes on.
You think it'll be a good crowd today?
You know, the kids aren't in school yet. To schedule SC, you know, this early in the season, it's been happening every year. It's just a crime. The kids aren't, classes don't start till the 24th, so the student section won't be totally jammed. And it's never a madhouse down there anyway, so no.
This will be fun.
It'll be a lot of fun.
No, I look forward to reading your article. Thanks, Bruce.
Great. Thanks, Marty.
All right, have a good afternoon. All right, that's a great Bruce Jenkins. More coming up right here on the Sports Leader.